if you know what's good for you. Stay out of bobcat territory. Don't go sticking your whiskers where they don't belong.
I heard you were asking about Bruno. Everyone is calling for retaliation. Plans are already being made. Queen Millie wouldn't turn on us like that. I saw her after it happened and she didn't look the same. Bruno was in negotiations with the Lion family, the Blood Force.
So, who are you? How were you able to get so close to Bruno, to Millie, to the King and the rest of the family?
It was actually very easy because, well, I'm the King's sister. You probably know me as Carmella Redtooth Gattle, the bloodthirsty right hand of the Bobcats.
From the wonderful land of Oz, this is Fiction Crime Time. I'm your host, Adam Farmer. Carmella Gatto, the red-toothed, bloodthirsty right hand of the Bobcats, now in an undisclosed location under the protection of the OBI. A lot has happened around here since the last episode. The OBI drug operations team moved in a few floors above me in the same hotel I'm staying at. There was no proof of Carmella's claims about Bruno's murder, but there was enough evidence about the drug operations. That was enough to get the OBI's attention, and Carmella a cozy room in the middle of nowhere. The OBI isn't giving out any information about their investigation into this operation. But I get the sense by the way they're responding to this situation that the drug ops team has been monitoring the transference of poppy seeds across the border. Newspaper articles in the Quadling country talk about successful raids in the Blood Force territories, revealing more and more stockpiles of the seeds. They've had their eye on the Bobcats and the other field families for a while, but there was never enough evidence to bring it to court. But this new testimony from Carmella changes everything. Sure, it isn't a lot, but it's enough for the OBI to come and check it out. Now, I don't want to get too focused on this investigation into drug smuggling, because I'm only here to investigate the death of Bruno Bacchus. But there's still a story here. And if everything works out the way it is, the two stories may cross paths along the way. I do, however, want to draw attention to something that may not be a big deal to my investigation, but it may end up bringing new things to light. Carmella said Bruno was making the deals with the Lion family. So, I just want to throw out the question of, who's making the deals now that Bruno's gone? Could this new head of operations have a connection to Bruno's death? And the supposed phone conversation with the Lion family about more money? Allow me for a moment to speculate a crazy possibility. Now, this has no evidence backing it up. It's merely one of many theories going around in my head since my phone calls with Carmella. So, picture Bruno having a deal with the Lion family to smuggle a certain quota of poppy seeds across the border. King Dimitri finds out and puts an end to it. But the Lions aren't happy. They try to convince Bruno to keep their deal. Bruno says the only way he will stay in is if they offer him more money per shipment. The Lions disagree, and an argument ensues over the phone. Lucky for the Lions, another field animal comes in to fill Bruno's place. Now, this could be a field mouse, or bobcat, or any of the other field families, but whoever they are possibly killed Bruno for the position. Now, once again, this is all crazy speculation, and yes, I did steal that story from every mafia movie ever made. But either way, it's an interesting idea. Though, I won't be able to do much investigation into it. I need to stay out of Bobcat territory. Tensions were high even before the OBI moved in next door. so stepping foot in their territory is just a bad idea. So I decided to shift my focus to the field mice family. I tried to get a meeting with the queen or her second in command, in person or over the phone or just anything. The field mice are more open to outsiders than the bobcats are. They think of it as free publicity. As I wait to hear back from them, I decide to wander along the yellow brick road to try and get a better sense of what Dorothy's trip was like. Put myself in her shoes, if you will. I know that many theories going around right now are that Dorothy didn't kill Bruno, but I still want to get a sense of who Dorothy came in contact with. More importantly, who was affected by the spell in the slippers? I find myself even driving back to Munchkin City, stopping at every roadside place to investigate.
Yeah, I remember looking out my window and seeing a girl and her dog walking down the road. Didn't think anything of it until the OBI came asking around. You know, they said she killed a lot of people. I don't know, though. Little girl like that.
Now, I'm not certain it was Dorothy because I never saw a proper picture of her, but I do remember being out in my garden and seeing a little girl and a dog walking with a man who was wearing torn-up rags.
So she wasn't alone?
Nope. They were a strange duo. Trio, if you count the dog.
Did you recognize the man?
They were a good ways off, so I couldn't make out any features. But I don't remember seeing anyone dressed like that around here before.
There were three of them. Not counting the pup.
Wait, three?
Mm-hmm. There was a girl and a small pup. Some guy with crazy hair and tattered clothes, and a man wearing armor. Oh, and he was carrying an axe.
An axe? Could this axe be the murder weapon that we're all looking for? If it is, then who are these other men? Who was this man in tattered clothes, or the guy carrying the axe? Did he let Dorothy use it, or... Now hear me out, was he the killer? Now I know I'm just throwing that out there with no proof of evidence, I seem to be doing that a lot today. I just remember saying last episode that everything hinges on the axe. If we find the axe, whoever has it may know something about the murders. Of course there's a possibility of him being the killer, but we do know for certain that if he did kill Bruno, he didn't kill Ebony. Which makes this rabbit hole deeper, because it makes me wonder if the killings are even connected. Carmela Gatto didn't believe so, but her theory didn't include this armored man thrown into the mix. When I thought this couldn't get more complicated, this happened.
Yeah, I remember that day. They were a strange bunch of folks, all four of them.
Four?
Yeah. The girl. A crazy-looking man. A shiny man with an axe. And a lion.
A lion. This person claims they saw a lion in the group with Dorothy and the axe. Could Carmela be right? Could this lion be with the lion family of the Blood Force? And... could he have used the armored man's axe to kill Bruno? Everything is just circling around in my head, and I can't think straight. I need to go back to the beginning. Not the beginning of Ebony's case, or Dorothy, but of Bruno. The only way I can give this the right attention is to look at it as an isolated crime. That way, I will have no presumptions or pre-speculations about this murder. In order to do that, I need to lay out all of the possibilities as I have them in my head. I rarely do this because I feel like it takes away from the facts of the case. But in this situation, I feel like you should know my process. So, possibility number one. simply Bruno was killed by Dorothy. We have witness testimony placing her at the crime scene and showing she had close proximity to what could have been the murder weapon. Possibility 2. Bruno was killed by this armored man. I have nothing else to add, other than he was with Dorothy as they traveled on the road. No witnesses have yet placed him at the crime scene, but they have him in possession of what could be the murder weapon. Possibility 3. The Lion family sent a hit lion who traveled with Dorothy to kill Bruno. I have nothing other than the beef between Bruno and the lions. Possibility 4. Literally anything else. I feel like I'm grasping at straws here. And when I feel like I have nothing to grab onto, I get a phone call.
Hello, Mr. Farmer. We've processed your request and have decided to grant you a meeting.
Thank you. When will it take place?
Right now, Mr. Farmer. I'm Mikey Castanello, Queen Millie's second command. Pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Mikey Castanello, as he said it himself, is Queen Millie's second in command. He's also her nephew. He rose up in the ranks like any other member in the family. But in the end, Millie saw him as the person she trusted most. So she named him her second. I'm a little nervous talking to someone so high up in the Field Mice family. Sure, in the last episode I talked to the Bobcat second in command, but I didn't know it at the time, so it just felt like another phone call. This time, I know who I'm talking to. And I'm completely unprepared. I was expecting a day, or at least a few hours, to prepare for the interview. But Mikey had other plans.
Hello, Mr. Castanello. You'll have to forgive me. I'm a little unprepared and wasn't expecting the interview to happen right now.
I have a schedule to keep, pal. This is my only option. So let's get started. You want to know what happened to Bruno?
Yeah.
You read the file, right? It's all there. The Queen saw that gal, Dorothy, kill him.
And after that, your men escorted her out of the fields.
That's the story.
Yeah, I know that's the story, but I also know there's more. Look, you called me. That tells me that you have something to say.
Look, pal. If you're trying to tell me like you did, Gatto, you got another thing coming. I'm no turncoat. The Queen said Dorothy did it, so she did it.
I'm not asking you to turn on the Queen. What if I told you that the Queen wasn't thinking straight? That she was under a spell?
How?
I told him about the slippers. Not every detail, but enough for him to understand that there is a chance that the Queen isn't in her right mind. He admitted that there was a change in the Queen since his last interaction at the crime scene, but he thought it may have just been trauma.
All makes sense now. But why she said what she did?
We already established what she said she saw. Now that you have an idea about why she said it, can you tell me what you saw?
First, tell me if you can cure her. Is there a way to reverse the spell and bring my Aunt Millie back?
All spells can be reversed, but this one is tricky. I have no guarantees, but what I can promise is that the best people are working on finding a reversal. Powerful witches and alchemists who will not give up. Now you have to ask yourself, what world do you want your aunt to wake up in? A world where you're at war with the Bobcats? Or one where you're at peace?
I'll tell you what I saw. It would not be a stupid show. For Millie. We're on the border where the poppy fields meets the Yeldick Road. Me and Millie and some of the guys were meet up with Bruno.
You went to meet with Bruno?
That's what I said. When we got there, we saw a group of four people coming down the road. We tried to play it cool like we were just some animals playing tag in the fields. Next thing we know, Bruno's dead.
Was it Dorothy?
No. No, it wasn't a girl. It was a man she was with. He was made out of tin. He's the one who brought the axe down, Bruno. I swear it. Ask some of the boys if you don't believe me.
So what happened next?
The queen was walking up to the group, ready to blast them all away, but she stopped when Dorothy spoke to her. I couldn't hear what she said, but I didn't like it. The queen then told us to escort the group until they were away from the fields. I always do what she says, but I didn't like it one bit. When we got back, she told the police she saw Dorothy do it. The boys and I wanted to correct her, but she's the queen. She has the last word. You don't go against the queen unless you want to eat with the worms.
So, Dorothy didn't kill Bruno. Mikey even let me talk to some of the other field mice, and their stories were all the same. Bruno was killed by this tin man with an axe. They didn't know why it happened, it just did. This is huge. I feel like I tore a hole in the fabric of this investigation. My investigation all started because Jacob believed there were accomplices or other suspects to be investigated, but the OBI was only investigating Dorothy. Now we know that there are other suspects and accomplices. This lion, and the man with the tattered clothes, and chief among them, the man made of tin, who these witnesses are claiming killed Bruno. Dorothy killed Ebony, yes, but according to this new information, she did not kill Bruno. Now, could this mean that she is also not guilty of killing the other victims? I guess that's the next step. I need to re-examine the witnesses of the third crime scene, where many bodies were killed. I need to see who Dorothy came in contact with and who is under her spell. I need to... Crap. Hold on, guys. I gotta take this. Hey, Jacob. Wait, what? There's been another murder? Thanks for listening to Fiction Crime Time. Sorry for cutting the episode short, but big things are happening here in Oz. This episode was written and narrated by me, Adam Farmer. It featured the voice talents of Michelle Lee, Mitchell Witcher, Jacob Segura, Zachary Tellez, and Nicholas Gilliman. Go follow these rock stars on social media. Their links are in the description, so go send them some love. Also, be sure to follow Fiction Crime Time on social media so you can see any additional case materials and other announcements. Look for us at Fiction Crime Time on Instagram and Facebook, and at untrue_crime on Twitter. Tweet at us with your theories and thoughts about the case. A new episode will be released every other week, so be on the lookout for episode 8 on April 13th. And, as always, remember that everyone has a story to tell. So, don't be shy. Go out and tell yours. Thanks again for listening.